You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Thank you, worship team. Morning, everyone. My name is Cameron, and it's good to be here with you this morning as your guest speaker. My wife and I are pioneering a new ministry in Kelowna called Lighthouse Communities, and if you're interested in that, I know some of you are asking this morning, go to our website, www.lighthousecommunities.ca, and you can sign up for our regular newsletters and get some of our ministry updates that are happening there. So, well, I'm really excited to be here this morning. It's a really, really cool Sunday to be with you guys. In many ways, this is kind of a Sunday where I get to pass the baton to your new and coming associate pastor. And so as you may know, this weekend, Pastor Keith, a number of our elders and some staff and their families are at KGF this weekend at Kelowna Gospel Fellowship. And they're there celebrating Pastor Marcus, who has been at KGF for 7 years, just serving that church and serving the people there and leading well. And so our staff is there kind of honoring KGF and celebrating KGF and just wanting to bless them as we partner together as God's one church in our city, as we live out these kingdom values. And really cool is Marcus will begin on February 9th, and the lead pastor of KGF, Pastor Phil, and their elders are going to come and pray and commission Pastor Marcus here as your new associate. Church, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. When we live out kingdom values, we get to see God do amazing things in our city, and this is just one small example of how we can honor Jesus, who is the Lord of the church. Amen. Amen. All right, well, cool stuff this morning. We're going to talk about time and space in our sermon this morning. And you thought, oh, time and space. I didn't know I was coming to a physics class. Well, here we go. I got some quotes about time and space coming up, and they're just kind of broad quotes from kind of all over. In the vortex that lies beyond time and space tumbled a police box that was not a police box. Any Doctor Who TV show fans here? All right, next quote. Dr. Amit Ray, I don't agree with his philosophy, but anyways, here's an interesting quote. Beauty is the moment when time vanishes. Beauty is the space where eternity arises. Kind of a cool quote. Next one. All right, space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Star Trek Enterprise. It's a 5-year mission. Some Trekkie fans here, I'm sure, right? All right, next one. All right, time and space are not conditions of existence. Time and space is a model for thinking. Albert Einstein. Now, I'm going to confess, I actually have no idea what that means. But I know we have some physicists here and mathematicians who might explain that after, but it's a good time and space quote. Well, time and space is how we orient our life, how we orient our lives, right? How we go about life. You knew this morning, 9:30 a.m., you needed to leave the space of your home and you needed to get here to this space on time. Most of you, that is, on time, right? I know that struggle. I was often late here, too. I know that by 8:30, I got to get my kids to the space of school and drop them off and go to the space called work. This is how we live our lives. So this morning, we're going to talk about God's time and human time and how they interact. God's space and human space and how they interact. But first, let's pray. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, you are an amazing triune God of love and perfection and holiness. And you invite us to participate with you in abundant life, in rest, in good things that you have for us, Lord. And so we pray over this morning as your church. We pray that you would be opening our hearts to receive you this morning, Jesus. Open our minds and our eyes and our ears to receive your truth this morning. May we be transformed and made new, and may we take steps of obedience into your word this morning, Jesus. It's not enough for us just to listen to the word. Let us be doers of the word. Let us put it into practice, Jesus. And so reveal your truth. Reveal your son this morning, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to look at the rhythm of Sabbath. We are in a sermon series about spiritual rhythms, and we're going to look at the rhythm of Sabbath and rest this morning. And we're going to kind of do a big overview of the Bible this morning. So buckle up. We've got a lot to dig through. So let's first flip to Genesis chapter 2, creation. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. So God is creating in Genesis 1 over the 6 days, and then we come to Genesis 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God creates, and then God rests. What does this mean? You know, when we dig into the original context of when the book of Genesis was written, we start to see some interesting patterns and themes that come out in that time in the ancient Near East. Creation stories were common in the ancient Near East. People were trying to make sense of the world. Why are we here? How did we get here? And so other cultures had written creation narratives. And in these other cultures, it often focused on a God who made the world for themselves, for God, and humans were like the slaves that had to serve the gods. But the book of Genesis is different because our God is different. And so in Genesis 1, we see this creation narrative, this pattern of there is morning and there was evening. There was morning and evening. And God creates time and God creates space. And history begins moving forward. In Genesis 1, this creation pattern of morning and evening, morning and evening. There's 6 steps, 6 building blocks in there. And commentators will point out how this 6-step building process would often detail how a God would build his temple. How a God would build his temple. The temple would be constructed. And in that temple, an image of the God would be placed as a representative. But there's a big difference between these other cultures and the God of the Bible. The one true God. You see, our God makes humans as the pinnacle of creation. We are the crowning jewel. We are made in the image of God to reflect the one true God. And so God creates the universe. He creates his space. And then he rests on the seventh day. So let's answer that question. What does that mean when God rested on the seventh day? See, the word in the original context in the Hebrew, it has this idea of God settling in. God settling in. And so God creates, and then God settles into his creation. Heaven and earth are space for God to live in. Creation is now God's home. Creation is for God's enjoyment. And so God sets aside this seventh day, because humans and God are to enjoy this day together by keeping the Sabbath. And so this rhythm of rest is woven into creation. It was a special day when God's time and human time intersected. And humans were to share in the Creator's enjoyment on this day and rest together. Rest together. Well, a quick story. Maybe this has happened to you, or maybe you were the passenger who was pointing this out in the vehicle. But have you ever been driving along in your vehicle, and you're maybe on a stretch of highway, so you're kind of daydreaming, and then your eye kind of glazes up, and you kind of look at the oil change sticker on the car, and then you kind of like look down at your odometer, and you kind of realize, huh, I was supposed to go for an oil change a long time ago, right? Happened to us once in a while, right? not going to say if you're that driver or the passenger this morning. I'm not going to point that out. But my point is that your engine, your car engine, is designed for maintenance. It needs scheduled maintenance. It needs oil changes to keep up with its optimal function. And so, church, do you have a rhythm of rest in your life this morning? A rhythm where you're going to stop from your usual work or stop from your usual things and enjoy the Creator. We were designed for this creation rhythm. Like your car, you can just drive it all you want, but eventually it's going to break down. We need an oil change every once in a while. So let's continue our biblical survey, and we're going to see this Sabbath theme develop as we keep moving through the Old Testament. And so now we're going to look at the Sabbath command. The Sabbath command. Let's look at Exodus 20. It's a listing of the Ten Commandments. We're going to look at verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. You know, as a pastor, I've been a pastor for maybe 5-6 years now, and I've walked with all kinds of people in different stages of life, and I've walked with people who have gone through the incarceration process and been incarcerated and then free after their time has been served. And you know what's interesting, too, is that often when people come out of incarceration, they often have this, like, to-do list. It's like, I am free! And so first stop is we're going to the Keg for a good steak. It's like, I am free, I can finally do what I want, I'm going to go to the Keg or get a really good cup of coffee, because apparently the coffee is not good in jail. But anyways, when we are free, it gives us all this opportunity. For the story of Israel and the people of God in the Old Testament, they had lived in slavery, working 7 days a week, 7 days a week, working, working, working. And God had intervened and set his people free. And so God gives them the Ten Commandments as a way of life, a way to be free. And it included rest. It included rest. And so when we put our minds into this Old Testament perspective of how Israel would have thought, they would have known that God had a special relationship with them. They were essentially nothing, but God chose them in his mercy and compassion and grace and set them free. And so God gave them a way of life to be different, to rest, to not be like the other nations. God says, don't work all the time. Set the seventh day apart. God gave them manna on the 6 days in the desert, but on the seventh day, no manna. They were to trust God's provision on the sixth day. So what is God getting at? Why is God giving this divine limitation? Remember the point, the Jewish point of view. God created, God settled into his creation, and on the seventh day, it was sacred. God's time and human time connected. And the Israel people would have met with God in a special way on this day and experienced God in a special way on the Sabbath. So biblical scholar N.T. Wright, he writes this. He says, Sabbath indicated a rhythm of life in which God's own rhythm of life mysteriously intersected with that of humans, with Israel, and with the whole of creation. Mysterious and amazing all at the same time. And so as we unpack this biblical concept of Sabbath, church, I'm wondering, I have a few questions for you this morning. First, are you working all the time? This is very easy in our culture today. Emails, online work, it's very easy to work all the time. Are you weary in your life? Are you running from one appointment to the next thing, to the next thing, and then the day passes, and then the week passes, and then the month passes, and it's gone? You know, I have learned that when I push really hard in life and when I'm going after things and working a lot, that it's often because I'm looking for control. Control. The issue deep down inside is that I'm not trusting God. Instead, I want to be God. I want my outcome. The issue is trust versus control. Church, can you relate? For Israel, the Sabbath was a way that God used to develop the faith of his people. And so as the Israelites were wandering through the desert, God would provide 6 days a week. He would provide meat and bread. But on the seventh day, they would have to trust that God had provided enough on the sixth day. The Sabbath made them stop. It made them reflect. And it made them release control back to God. Church, how are you doing with Sabbath? Are you in rhythm with God? Well, let's move on through our biblical survey this morning. You know, as a parent of young kids, there's a lot of cons to wintertime, but there is one pro, and this is a parenting tip if you have young kids, is that you can go to the window in the afternoon and open the blinds, and you can show your kids, you can say, "Kids, look, it's getting dark outside. It's time for bed." Right? Kids, dark outside, it's a sign. Bedtime, right? The only problem is it really backfires in the summertime because the sun is up a lot longer, and so the kids will use it against you, just so you know. But anyways, when it's getting dark outside, it's a sign. It's a sign that nighttime is coming. It's a sign that bedtime is coming. It's a sign that we go to sleep. The theme of Sabbath in the Old Testament, it develops into this sign that something is coming. It's pointing to something. Let's look at Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel, what he writes, verse 19, "I am the Lord your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." The Sabbath sign. Well, quick rabbit trail. God gave the Israel people seven festivals to celebrate in the calendar year, one of these being Sabbath. And closely tied to this theme of Sabbath is the theme of Jubilee. It's a celebration of God's freedom and a reenactment of God's saving work. And so in the Old Testament, Israel was to celebrate every 7 years Jubilee. The land was to rest. The slaves were to be released. Debts were to be forgiven. And every seven times 7 years, every 49 to 50th year, was the year of Jubilee, the mega Jubilee, where God's justice, God's mercy, God's freedom, God's forgiveness was to be demonstrated through property being turned back to the original owners, through everything being restored and reset. And so this Sabbath theme and the Jubilee theme, they begin to mix in the Old Testament. And God is using this as a sign of something that is coming, something that we are waiting for. And it's when God's time and God's purposes and God's space come together. The Sabbath was a sign in the Old Testament of God's justice, of God's hope that God would fulfill his promises, that God would bring about his restoration and renewal. And so for Israel to overwork was to not trust that God would bring about his purposes. To miss out on Sabbath was to miss out on the future hope. So when it comes to us today as the church, another practical question. Church, where do we find rest? Where do we find rest today? When we're weary, when we're stressed out, when we're tired, where do we go? What do we do when we find rest? Confession and honesty is probably most of us in the younger generation. We will quickly go to our phone and we will go on social media, and then we will find a funny meme, or we will be like, oh man, that puppy is so cute. He's doing a backflip. And we will escape into social media. Other generations, you might turn to TV or anything that can get in the way of true rest. True rest. Most people today struggle with true rest because most things in our world today are not true rest. They are escape. Escape. Instead, we must find true rest in the person of Jesus and his promises. I love how the message puts Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me, says Jesus. Get away with me, says Jesus. You will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Church, we need to spend time with Jesus for true rest. Well, let's keep going in our biblical survey. We're going to turn now to the New Testament. And you know what's interesting in the New Testament is that Jesus, he seems to constantly mess up the Sabbath. He seems to constantly be out of bounds on the Sabbath and doing the wrong thing. He launches his public ministry on the Sabbath. He forgives sins on the Sabbath. He starts healing people on the Sabbath. When it comes to the Apostle Paul, he doesn't quote the Sabbath commandment in his writings. He'll quote other commandments from the Old Testament, but he does not quote Sabbath. The New Testament writers rarely talk about it. So what do we do with this Old Testament concept of Sabbath? My observation is that Christians tend to fall into one of two camps. And generationally, my parents and their parents, they tended to approach Sabbath with a very legal interpretation. In fact, I am told a story of a young Sunday school boy talking to his Sunday school teacher about Sabbath. I'm like, why do we have to keep Sabbath? And why can't we play on Sabbath? Why can't we do anything fun on Sunday? And the Sunday school teacher said, because the boy is pointing out even Jesus did things on the Sabbath. And the Sunday school teacher said, well, I guess even Jesus had a hard time keeping the Sabbath. Well, anyways, camp one, being legalistic about the seventh day. The other camp I see Christians is going like the anti-rules, like we have no rules because we are in Christ. We are totally free. We don't need any rhythm. But let me propose a third way this morning. A third way is that Jesus is our ultimate rest. And so follow me through time and space this morning as I point something out. In the Old Testament, God's presence on earth, the place, the space where God was the temple. If you wanted to meet God, you would go to the temple. In the Old Testament, God's special time, his special day of the week, it was marked by Sabbath. It was a day unlike other days where you could meet God. Space and time. Jesus comes along in the New Testament and turns these things inside out. In Mark 2, we see how Jesus is forgiving sins. You used to have to go to the temple. Now you go to Jesus. In Mark 3, Jesus heals on the Sabbath and sets people free from illness. So what's going on? Church, I want you to get this morning. Jesus is the presence of heaven on earth. Holiness is no longer restricted to temple space, and holiness is no longer restricted to one day a week Sabbath. Jesus is present in a real body, in real time, in real space. Mark 1, verse 15 says, Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. The rule and reign, that is at hand. So Jesus is the space of God. Jesus is the time of God. And Israel's destiny and human destiny and all of creation's destiny is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. It's the new age where God's time and human space are all coming together. And so the big idea this morning that I'm going after is really this, is that Jesus is your heavenly rest. What was once restricted is now available. We are in this new age of sustained human and divine time. It's spirit time now. And so for the early church, Jesus was the new temple. The temple was where heaven and earth come together. For the early church, Jesus was this perpetual Sabbath rest. This is what Hebrews 4 is talking about. Jesus is the Sabbath and he is the Jubilee. He rescues, he redeems, he heals, he sets people free. And so today we've approached this topic of Sabbath kind of like unpacking an onion, but hopefully without the tears. And so this outer layer is this creation rhythm that God has appointed creation, that every seven days there was rest. And then we unpacked the next layer and saw how Sabbath was a command for the Israel people to help build their faith and trust in God. And then another layer deeper inside is this Sabbath being a sign of pointing to something that is coming. And this last layer, as we unpack it, we see the person of Jesus, where God's time and God's space come together with human time and human space. And so God is on a mission. The life and death and resurrection of Jesus bring about this new age. And God's plan is to recreate, to make things new, to reverse the effects of the fall and sin. And when we practice rest in Jesus, we participate in the God who is making all things new. And so when we rest, when we limit ourselves, we do this because we are not the Savior. When we stop and when we rest, we do so because we are not ultimately in control. Instead, what we rest in is Jesus' sufficiency. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who gives us rest. He is the one who will bring history to its full completion. So this morning, I want to leave you with some helpful applications. You were created with rest in mind. On the sixth day, Adam and Eve were created. On the seventh day, God rested and enjoyed his creation. And so my application this morning is to practice a weekly rhythm of rest, to cease from your normal work, to embrace this limitation, to build your faith. And what should you do on this day? Should we tell each other what to do? No way. No way. The gift of the gospel is that it turns everything inside out, and then it gives responsibility back to you. And so, to help you discern what to do on your rest day, I have two suggestions. First, play. Do something fun. Enjoy life. Enjoy God's creation. Spend time with your loved ones and relationships. Spouses, enjoy one another, whatever that means. Enjoy art, music, creativity. Enjoy God's creation. Play sports, play games, draw, create. Play. Secondly, on your rest day, pray. Pray. Delight in God. Fuel your faith. Connect with your Heavenly Father and know his heart and his love for you. Read his word. Listen to him in prayer. Wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, no matter where you're at, just rest in God's promises to make all things new, to bring justice, and to restore. And when we do this, we start to walk in spirit time, where God's space and time and purposes converge and intersect in our life. So as we bring it to a close this morning, I'm going to invite back up the worship team. But we also want to acknowledge the reality that the Bible says that the rest of God has come, but we live in this day where the days are still evil. And we walk in that tension of the already and not yet kingdom. We still await this true and perfect seventh day. And so as we close, We look forward to the end of time, to Revelations 21 and 22, this amazing vision when God brings the new heaven and new earth and new city of Jerusalem. It's a vibrant city. The river of life is flowing out from it. All nations are gathered to worship Jesus. There's human flourishing. And so in the beginning, God created and rested with his creation. And in the end, God has completed his creation work, and he rests and dwells fully with his people. In the new creation, there is no temple. God's space is not limited. In the new creation, there is no sun or new moon. God's time is not limited. So until then, the Christian Sabbath is a vehicle for us to slow down, to be intentional about abiding, and to rest in God and his promises. And when we do this weekly pattern, weekly rhythm, we participate with our God who is making all things new and bringing his story to fulfillment. Will you join him by beginning a weekly rhythm of rest?